Last week I told you our message for today was, what if there was no Christmas? And I hope some of you thought about that idea, and I planted a seed in your head and you said, well, what if there was no Christmas? What would I be giving up? What if there was no Christmas? Have you ever wondered what would you be missing if there wasn't Christmas? When you reflect on the thought, you quickly discover just about every good thing that you could think of in your life as a result of Christmas. Our scripture reading for today is out of Matthew 2:13. Matthew 2:13 through 18. And I'm just going to go over it again real quick. 2:13 through 18. That's Mark. That would be ugly. Matthew. Matthew 2:13 through 18. If there are any Bibles, say amen. All right. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time in which he determined from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now, that's a sad story. And it was bad. But let's open up with a word of prayer and see if we can get this sermon back on track. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for these children that came forward today to sing your praises and the song about your birth. And we are so happy that they did that. But Lord, we just ask now that you empty out our hearts and minds so that you can fill them up. Allow all the distractions of the season to be blocked out of our minds so that we can focus on the fact that you came to earth, that you lived and died, and because of that we have a Savior. And we are going to live forever in eternity. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Now, King Herod tried to stop the plan that God had, and he did a horrendous, sinister act, which I'm sure he's still paying for today. I mean, there's some oopses in life, but slaughtering all those babies, that probably ranks right up there. Herod lost. He thought he could thwart the plan of God. The devil could not thwart the plan of God, as we look at the story of Jesus' life. The devil tried to get in there several times to try to destroy Jesus on the water, in the storm, and out in the desert when he was fasting. Circumstances could not thwart the plan of God. God can always thwart the plan of others. And the reality is that God's plan for mankind will not be stopped. He's got a plan. It's set down. And when we look at it, we say, well, I don't quite understand. Well, that's okay. You don't have to completely understand. You just got to have faith and trust in God. Psalm 2, which is a messianic psalm, tells us how futile it is to try to eliminate God and his plan for mankind. In other words, you want to have your religion, you go right ahead. But I don't want to have anything to do with it. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. And he said to me, you are my son, and today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing and with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. But blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 2. It's a good psalm. Have you ever wondered what you would be missing from your life if there was no Christmas? You know, this month and last month had kind of got me up to the point, and our Christian men's group discussed it, and it didn't seem like anybody was up for Christmas this year. I mean, after digging out under the snow and everything, it just seemed like, wow, you know, we could just let Christmas go by and we'll pick up for New Year's and it'll be all right. But no Christmas. No Christmas. No Christ child. No Savior, no miracle story, no division of time. I originally thought that I wouldn't get any presents, no days off from work, no Christmas dinner, which in my family is very important, no holiday to spend with my family, no chance to listen to Christmas music, and no chance to play practical jokes on people with wacky presents. After some quiet reflection and some people telling me how they felt about Christmas this year, about this, I quickly discovered that I would be missing more than what I first thought of. I soon discovered that I would be missing just about everything that is good and that I enjoy and benefit from in life. What if there was no Christmas? What would we be missing? Well, the biggest truth that came to me was no Christmas, no Christianity. You're saying, really? Have you ever wondered what would be missing if there was no Christmas? There would be no Christ, and there would be no Christianity. And reflection on this is scary to me. Let's ponder what if. Say the Antichrist powers defeated Christ at the birth and therefore eliminated Christianity. What would have been lost? What would we be lacking from today? There would be no Christmas joy. There would be no kids smiling as they opened up presents. There would be no Merry Christmas. There would be no singing of Christmas songs, which I enjoyed very much today. There would be no joy to the world, no Hark the Herald Angels Sing, no Silent Night. There would be no gift giving. There would be no colorful lights and no candy canes. But there would be no God with us. There would be no reason for the season. There would be no holiday spirit of giving. There would be no good news, no hope. There would be no relationship between us and the Lord. There would be no faith, no prayer, and no bridge to heaven. Kind of sounds pretty. It's like, wow, that was kind of a wet blanket, Pastor John. There would be no supernatural healings like the ones we've been praying for this week. No grace, no mercy, no forgiveness. There would be no purpose for our lives. What would we be here for? What would we be living for? No bondage breaker moments that help us escape from those terrible things that are going on in our lives. There would be no freedom. There would be no eternal life. Can you imagine facing cancer or something else with just nothingness on the other side? There would be no transformations, no light at the end of the tunnel, no revivals, no church, no First Baptist Church. This building wouldn't even be here. It would probably be a parking lot or something. There would be no Christians, no path to the presence of God, no spirit-filled life, and no love, no Christian love. There would be no wise men, no family gatherings, no New Testament. In the Bible, as we know, it would be completely different. There would be no entrance to the Holy of Holies so we can take our prayers in there directly to God. No revelation, no Christian organizations. There would be no pastors. I'd be out of a job. Some of you are probably like, it's all right. No pastors, no worship music, and no communion. There would be no deliverance, no joys or smiles in this life. No testimonies to his resurrection power. There would be no miracles. No death defeating, no defeating of death, no salvation, no, there would be no hope. You know, there's a billboard in LA which reads, "Keep hope alive." Now, people in LA don't get very much right, but that one's pretty good. Keep hope alive. A person will give up and do something drastic if they don't have any hope. If hope dies, so does the spirit within a person. Without hope is a scary thought to ponder. But the truth is, without Christmas, we have no hope as individuals. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 tells us how important hope is. Romans 8, 28 through 31 says, "And we know that all things work for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he will also glorify. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? But if there is no Christmas, no hope, no God, no Jesus Christ, that doesn't make any sense, does it? This is a fact of life. Our hope, the hope that you have, the hope that I have, and it comes into those situations where we scratch our head asking ourselves, how is this going to work out? I can't see any way that this is going to work out for the good, but somehow God makes it work out for the good, right? We need to understand that God knows everything in advance. He's not limited to time and space like we are. He's orchestrating the events of this world and even our lives. I think in these types of situations, we need to know that God is with us, and if he is for us, who can be against us and win? It's nice to know we got the biggest guy, the most powerful person with us. You strut a little bigger, you walk a little taller when you're going into a room and you got that on your side, right? When we come up against stuff like, you know, vehicle accidents and unseen for circumstances and cancer. The answer is nobody. Nobody can be against us and win. And that is the truth. It's fact. Paul also tells us how important hope is in this passage from 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, a lot of you probably know this from your wedding vows, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is, you know, all the love stuff, right? But there's Christmas, and therefore we have the benefit of the blessing that comes from it. And one of those things that comes from it is, now these three things remain. Now, I know a lot of you guys have this on your wall at home. Faith, hope, and love. Hope, right in the smack dab in the middle between faith and love. We do have a blessing because there is a Christmas. Jesus Christ did come, and we are so blessed, and we have the hope. All these items above belong to us if we choose to receive the gift. Now think about the people out there in this world. They're going to be giving gifts. They're going to be singing Christmas songs. Probably more jingle bells than, you know, O Holy Night. But still, all those people out there, they're going to be meeting and eating turkey and too much turkey and watching football and all that stuff, but they don't know Jesus Christ. Think of all the things that they're missing out on. That's the gift. That's the Christmas spirit that we all need to have living in us. We have faith, hope, and love as a result of Christmas. Christ with us, or Christ in us, right? He's with us, but he's also in here. That's the gift. That's the Christmas spirit we all need to have living in us. We need to give him the space in our hearts so that he can do what he needs to do, especially at Christmas time. Because of the Christ, we have Christmas. Because of Christ's willingness to leave whatever was perfect that we talked about in Sunday school, how perfect heaven is. I mean, we imagine how wonderful it's going to be when we get up there. We can read little snippets about what heaven's like, about paradise. But he left that and came down here, was born in a stable, lived a life. Said the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has what? Nowhere to lay his head. Kind of left as King of the universe and stepped down into our world and gave up everything for us. Because he was willing to not only come, but die on the cross for us, we have all the stuff mentioned above and much, much more. All those things that I said we would give up, we have all those things. Because Christ did come and he did die on the cross for us. And we have faith, hope, and love. Jesus did come and he gave us the greatest gift of all, his very own life. He gave us his life. The sacrificial gift just keeps multiplying on this earth. Over and over, it touches not only you, but the people around you and people you haven't even met yet. Some reminders of the benefits of Christmas and Christianity. If there had never been a Christmas, the world would be far different than it was today. Ways that you never would have imagined. For instance, when Jesus came, he taught his followers to love their neighbors as their self, right? There was that, the scribes came up to him and said, "Teacher, teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And he says, "Well, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it." And he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you fulfill all the law and the prophets." And that is important. To live out this idea, his followers intended the idea of organized charity. They helped people. Early Christian communities stressed support for widows, orphans, and the sick and disabled. They organized efforts to help keep and take care of those who were sick and dying. They built, they staffed, and paid for hospitals. In recent times, Christ's followers have founded virtually every charitable organization on earth. Now think about this if these weren't around. The Red Cross, the Salvation Army, World Relief, World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, Food for the Hungry, Compassion International. Without the birth of Christ, education would be very different. You say, how could that be? Education's all screwed up. Well, it is. But Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Yale, and almost every single one of the first 123 American colleges and universities were founded by Christians. And a lot of them were seminaries. Did you know Harvard was a seminary? They would not exist in a world without Christians. Without Christmas, remember, no Salvation Army ringing the bell, no Red Cross response to disasters, no one to help those people get delivered from addictions, no 12-step program, no none of that stuff. Instead, many helped by these organizations would have been lost too, because they wouldn't have any what? Hope. On a personal note, what I received because of Christmas to me has become a time to ponder the spiritual benefits that come from the beginning of Christmas. There was Christmas. How did the world change after that? Christmas time is a time to reflect on the importance of the benefits to each of us. But for there to be eternal benefits to others, I have to pass on the true meaning of Christmas to somebody else, right? When I see somebody going, "Hey, happy holidays," I'd be like that little kid, the president's wife. "Nope, Merry Christmas." I'm like, "You go." He was like 5, straightening out the first lady. That's what I like. That's pretty good. Wisdom from the mouth of babes, right? Happy holidays. Come on. Merry Christmas. Jesus told us to go tell others about this marvelous miracle and its eternal implications. Christmas is so much more than we think of today. It has eternal blessings that go far beyond the material present that we... Listen, ask me where a Christmas tree came from. Ask me about the star on the top and all that other stuff. Listen, some of that stuff's Christian, and some of that stuff came from other places. But it points to something more meaningful and more wonderful, lots of presents, right? The truth is, if we pass the gift of Christmas along to somebody else, then we ourselves will soon realize that you cannot give the gift away without getting something in return from God. That's what Christmas is about. Give God away. Give Christ away to somebody else. Tell them the true meaning of Christmas, and you'll be rewarded and blessed by God. God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Brothers and sisters, this can be a hard time of the year for some people. We have people who die around Christmas, all those things. But we need to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we are truly blessed. Look at the people around the world that have so much less than we do. You know, I guess I didn't realize it until I was in Haiti. And we were evacuating people out of Haiti. This was the first time we evacuated everybody before the... But I came across a kid that was wearing 2-liter or pop bottles for shoes. And I said to myself, you know what? I am never, ever going to complain again. Until I came across somebody who had no feet. And then I said, wow, modern medicine would have fixed that. Modern medicine could have saved that guy's legs. We are so blessed. So when you're sitting around with your family this year, hug them a little tighter. Tell them you love them. I understand that we have faith and hope and love, and we are truly blessed because our Savior came from heaven down to earth, and because of that, we are blessed. We are so lucky that we have all the, you know, things we have in our life. We are blessed enough that we need to be able to give some of that out to the people that don't have as much as we do. Because we are spoiled. We are truly spoiled. God has truly blessed us, being born in America, becoming a Christian, and living here free, where we can carry our Bibles everywhere that we want to go and not worry about getting arrested or thrown in jail or killed. We are blessed.